Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was Steve Stone earlier this week with Bernstein and Rahimi, Dan and Layla, talking about how the Sox are where they are, which is 20 games ahead, above 500, 9 games in front of the Indians in the division, having a very healthy lead as they go into Milwaukee to play the first-place Milwaukee Brewers, who are 15 games over 500 with a 6.5-game lead in their division. A battle of first-place teams, Mark Grody, that when you give credit to Tony La Russa, you're also giving credit to the entire organization because of the way the depth has come through and the role players have emerged. And similarly, the Brewers are where they are. Boy, Craig Counsell does a terrific job as a manager. Their starting pitching has carried them. They're third in Major League Baseball in terms of team ERA with 3.26 ERA. But when you look at where they are, they have the worst batting average in the National League. And they are hitting a meager 223 as a team. So their depth and their role players have come through as well. This is a really fun matchup because you have two teams that are carried by their starting pitching, and they're having three of their best starting pitchers go head-to-head beginning tonight in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and it tells you, no matter where we have gone in past years with slugging and the importance of offense, that it's whether you like it or not, it still comes down to the starting pitchers, and that is a great case of it. Sox have been a blast this year, but the Sox are where they are, not because of Tony La Russa, but because of the three guys pitching in this series. Lucas Giolito,
yeah.
Carlos Rodon,
okay.
Lance Lynn. Those are the White Sox MVPs. And yes, there have been some big-time contributors to
that's
the
exaggeration.
White Sox.
That's exaggeration, but
what,
okay.
That they're not the MVPs?
Well, Giolito has not had a great year.
Okay, Rodon and Lynn, though.
They're
1 and 2.
Yes.
Right? And
I would
either
agree
order.
With that.
I don't even know what order I'd put. Right now, Lance Lynn has a 194 ERA, Rodon a 214. Those are your MVPs, man.
That's Rodon has had 7 starts and given up 2 hits or fewer. I think Rodon gets a slight edge there.
They are where they are, the Sox are, because of and same with
yep.
same with Milwaukee. I mean, like Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta, all with 2-something ERAs,
so
each one of them.
Is this an out-of-town stupid comment because we don't follow the Brewers maybe as closely as we do the White Sox? But we had a question at 5 at 5, or maybe it was pick 6. I think that Craig Counsell gets the edge and has more to do with maybe why the Brewers are comfortably in first place in their division than, with due respect, Tony La Russa has with the White Sox, because I feel like the White Sox have, like Steve Stone alluded to, they've had these guys come through the system who have emerged and contributed in ways you didn't expect. So I don't know if that's about the manager or maybe the general manager or the scouting director who has helped kind of stock this organization full of talent, whereas with the Brewers, I feel like when you watch them, there's always an example or two of Craig Counsell pushing the right button.
I agree. Like this year, like, you have to give credit to Rick Hahn, because that it is the guy who puts depth together. Like, that's one of the most important things that they have been able to, whomever they have insert Billy Hamilton, all of a sudden he's Billy the hitter. You know, promote Gavin Sheets to the big leagues and he hits a game-winning three-run homer. Jake Berger comes up and has contributed, and the Sox have won because of him at times. Every move that has been made, the draft picks that Rick Hahn has made, the depth that he is associated to the Chicago White Sox has been excellent. So it has been a Rick Hahn year, even though at the beginning of the year it was a Jerry Reinsdorf year because of the hiring of Tony La Russa. But I agree with your point, though, about Craig Counsell. He is quietly one of the best managers in baseball. And when you are doing the starting pitcher dance, it is complicated when you're not scoring runs, when Christian Yelich has not lived up. Like, they're not.
That's
like,
it.
Yelich like, ain't doing it, man.
How are they here?
Yeah.
Given where, you know, where they started the season, given the injuries they've had and given what they had to overcome, you know what? They have made a tremendous deal when they got Adames and they made that deal
to
play shortstop. You plug him in and they have been a different team since then. So we've got Peralta versus Giolito tonight. You've got Burns against Rodon tomorrow and Woodruff against Lance Lynn in the finale. It's going to be fun. It's going to be worth the trip. And I know we asked White Sox fans, are you going to Milwaukee? Are you going to take advantage of this rare opportunity to see two of the best teams in baseball? And you have responded. And I think there are a lot of people on the way. And Mark, score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And that's where we find JP on the road, who's on his way up to Milwaukee. Good morning, JP.
JP.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Diehard White Sox fan. I've been waiting to go up to see former Miller Park or whatever they call it today. But I've been super excited to get up there. And this season, as soon as I saw tickets available, I bought them. And what I found funny was how the Brewers are expecting a huge White Sox turnout because all their ticket prices were premium prices for these games. So that tells me a lot of White Sox fans come in. We're excited. White Sox Twitter has been going crazy at this weekend. So I'm excited. Thanks, guys.
Nice to see the White Sox associated with premium, too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, we're so used to like hearing about that from the Cubs side of the world and when they go to Milwaukee and what was then Miller Park. And now it's White Sox fans that are stimulating premiumness. I like that.
American Family Field.
That's it.
Is that the correct name of it?
AFF. Yeah.
AFF?
Oh, no. They call it AmFam Field.
AmFam?
AmFam. American Family
The cool
insurance.
Kids call it AmFam.
Yeah, they do. Yo, what's up, AmFam?
You know what, though, Mark? Coming out of last season, though, the Sox were good in 2020. So when they scheduled, this game came on the schedule, it wasn't like this was, oh, boy, this is a big reach, the White Sox and the Brewers. There was an anticipation if the Brewers were going to be good, you knew the White Sox were going to be contenders. So I would definitely stamp this as a premium game.
Oh, yeah. And even if the Brewers had not been good and the White Sox were doing what they are doing, 20 games over 500, I think that they still that would not have slowed White Sox fans from getting on your favorite highway, I-94, and going to Milwaukee. And in fact, I think that if the Brewers were not good, it could have been one of those cases where you listen to the stadium and say, the Sox fans might be outnumbering the Milwaukee fans, but the Brewers happen to be good, so I think it's gonna be still like a 60-40 thing. Like, it's not going to be that many White Sox fans.
You'll hear a roar, I think.
Oh, no, 100%.
Audible roar. But, you know, the first time that Jose Abreu goes deep, and I say the first time because I think he may have a couple this weekend. That's a prediction.
I
think you're going to hear an audible roar in AmFam.
No, I think you will. But we always exaggerate. Like, when the Cubs go there, and we're all like, oh, man, sounds like there's more Cubs fans. No, there was never more Cubs fans.
Just louder.
Maybe like in the O's, the Carlos Zambrano era.
The aughts.
Yeah, the aughts. Maybe there was times when Milwaukee was bottoming out that maybe they did outnumber them. But usually it's just when you have opposing teams fans in another stadium and they're not home stadium, it always appears that they're louder because you hear them.
312-644-6767. Are you heading up to Milwaukee to AmFam Field to see the Sox and the Brewers? Do you like Mark Grody's nicknamed the I-94 War for this series and the World Series preview.
Yo.
Let's go out to Arn, who is on the road. Good morning, Arn. Welcome to the Score.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Thanks for what you do, man. You bring us a lot of news and pleasure every day.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm headed up to the tomorrow night to see Rodon pitch. World Series preview. This is I've been a Sox fan for over 25 years. World Series 05. Looking for that World Series this year, and looking for Rick Hahn to be Executive of the Year, man.
Arn, let me ask you a question. I think that's a good call on Rick Hahn. Who do you give the manager edge this weekend? Because Craig Counsell's a heck of a manager, too.
You know, I believe that. I watched him play for a long time, and you know, baseball fan all my life, and I've seen him play, and I think he's a good strategist. You know, Tony's got the edge on him, I think, just because of experience.
Thanks for the phone call, Arn. Be safe.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go to the experience factor of Tony La Russa, but I do think that if we're just looking at this head-to-head, I like Tony La Russa in this series because he loves National League baseball, and it has frustrated some Sox fans this year when he has played that style of ball, the bunting style of baseball, and overusing your bullpen and all that. But guess what? Tony La Russa has been hyper-successful in that regard in his career, and it's also a good tune-up for the postseason, where no matter what, that is a time when you can start to try to manufacture runs because runs become so precious and every pitch counts. That's where I think that you do have an advantage. With even with the missteps of Tony La Russa this year, and they have been abundant, I think that all of a sudden you might finally have the Tony La Russa you were expecting down the stretch in the season and then into the postseason for sure when every pitch
counts. The White Sox have a situation where manufacturing runs would be a good exercise for them now at this point. Waiting for Aloy to come back, kind of having guys in the lineup that are there because maybe their defense or speed or their peskiness at the plate. Billy Hamilton, Adam Engel. This is a team that you can manufacture runs with. Danny Mendick and Tim Anderson. You know, if you want to wait for the long ball and Jose Abreu to hit the two home runs he's going to hit this weekend, as I just predicted, then that's fine. But you also have the luxury of having guys who can, you know, get on, you move them over, you get them in. And I think that's part of the process, too, that you want to be good at that because you don't want to go into the stretch run of the season or, dare I say, October by just being a team that relies so heavily on one aspect or another. You can't be a team that just, you know, manufactures runs with guys who I just described, or you don't want to be overly reliant on the home run because we have seen with the Cubs what happens when your offense breaks.
And not to mention that when you get to the playoffs, you're going to be facing ace pitchers. And it happens to every team that runs become precious. You don't usually see the 7 to 10 runs explosions. And no matter what happens during a regular season, all of a sudden everything reverts back to starting pitching and bullpen guys in the postseason.
I like tonight's chances because, although I go back and forth because I like tonight's spectacle because I think Gavin Sheets is going to be in the lineup because it's a right-hander. I like the fact that he's going to be in that park. And I know that there's a lot of reasons to watch this game tonight, but I'm curious to see how some of these young players respond to the moment. How do they rise to the occasion? Because this is a big moment. Now, the guys that you have expected, the veterans, they have been on the stage before and maybe, but I want to see how rookies, how young players who are untested handle it. So Gavin Sheets against Freddie Peralta, that to me is going to be worth sitting down and watching that, you know, all the way through before I'm flicking around to see what else is going on.
Yeah, and I am also looking very forward to, I know, like, Lucas Giolito has gotten himself more right over his last couple of starts. His Baltimore start, didn't he have a start in the Minnesota series too? But this is where we're really going to kind of find out if he is, you know, fully recovered from his little bumpy part in the season. And, you know, look,
didn't
at
he prove that against the Astros? Hasn't he proven
lately? I guess so.
I mean, I think we've seen him.
Yeah, I forgot he pitched against the Astros.
Hopefully turn the corner. You hope that he is regained that sort of mastery that maybe he didn't have earlier this year.
And this is a chance to see, to have him continue to do that and get back into the class of Carlos Rodon and Lance Lynn, because going into the season, I would have thought that Lucas Giolito was going to be their best pitcher. Nobody saw the Rodon thing coming. Nobody. Lance Lynn, maybe you could have predicted his sub.
Not like this.
1.94 ERA right now for Lance Lynn. But as the season started, I fully had, you know, my thought was Lucas Giolito will be the ace of the Sox staff. He has not been that. But he can't. If he pitches well tonight, he could start to move with his previous two appearances to tonight. And then if he pitches well tonight, he starts to move back into that discussion of when you put your playoff roster together, who is the opening day guy, which is such a great question. And Lucas Giolito could push his way back into that conversation.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
You think he's going to lose
tonight? You're right, the hot hand. I mean, it's hard for me to see game one of any playoff series starting without Lance Lynn or Carlos Rodon on the mound.
You hate Lucas Giolito.
I don't hate Lucas Giolito. I like
him. Why do you hate him? He's such an affable guy.
He is an affable guy. Yeah, he is his, Mr. Affability.
His dad is great.
You know what else I like about this weekend is that, like, even though the Cubs have sort of waved the white flag on the season and declared it all but over, and their games are largely irrelevant. Well, listen, anyway, today. 12:30 pregame on the score.
12:45, I think.
12:45.
Yeah, I know you told me never correct me on the air. I know that you during the commercials you yelled at me about that kind of stuff.
I did.
Grody, what did I tell you?
I know.
Today you correct me on the radio.
When you stop pulling back the curtain, I get really angry at commercials. I know I lose it. I am that guy.
I think it's 12:45.
Okay.
I think so.
Anyway, what I was saying is that when a Cub fan is sort of compelled to root tonight for the White Sox, this weekend for the White Sox. Don't Cub fans want the Sox to sweep? And
because of the Brewers?
Yes.
No, I don't think Cubs fans hate the Brewers enough. Like, if it was the Cardinals pole position, then it might be different. I don't think Cubs
fans... Who asked you? I'm asking Dustin.
Oh, okay.
Who asked you?
I think it's a great, great question because I feel so beat down this morning after that game. I really appreciated the fact, like, based on where those two teams are, Cardinals and Cubs in the standings, they really competed last night. They were into it. They weren't just going through the motions.
3-2. It was a taut game.
Right. And that guy Bader, like
I love that guy.
I hate that guy. Oh, like he's the AJ Pierzynski. Like if he's on your team,
I got you.
You love him. But if he's on the other team, you hate him. And he
agitator.
He is a blade of grass away from that ball going all the way to the wall.
Yeah.
Instead, it's spectacular.
Right. Right. Right.
It's spectacular, and you think, wow, these are two teams that are under 500 at the time the game is happening. They're both under 500. And they are really carrying on the tradition, the rivalry. It could have been first and second place teams. That's how it felt to me on my couch last night. But what I wanted to say quickly about Giolito, this is the other thing we have to keep our eye on. And we mentioned it briefly, but he went 9 innings. He did a complete game last time out.
Against the Astros.
And what kind of a hangover is there going to be? Is that going to be an issue? Because I didn't think it was necessary for him to go that full 9 against the Astros.
Well, he had a huge lead, too. Yeah, and that's the other part of it. How legit is it when you have a 10-2 or whatever the lead is?
Didn't he also get an extra day rest?
Sure, that was coming off the All-Star break.
Okay,
and all that
but like yesterday they didn't play.
I'm just worried and they didn't play. I just think that's something that we should be keeping our eye on tonight is how does he get through the first 3 or 4 innings of that game? And
is he sweating mayonnaise?
Is he sweating kind of mayonnaise? Thing? I like to say, Will the roof be open or closed tonight, Milwaukee?
Roof has got to be open, right?
Yeah, probably,
come on. Beautiful summer night in July?
I hope so. It's just going to be thick, though, right?
Going to be thick. You want it open. You want to be smelling the brats. You want to have the whole atmosphere.
Isn't there rain in the forecast? Or no, WBBM News
Time? I think
not
until Saturday. Yeah. I think today is clear. Tom Skilling told me.
Oh, is that what Tom
said? We'll get back to the weather report for Milwaukee. We will get back to whether or not Cubs fans are rooting for the White Sox or the Brewers, or do they even care?
That's a good question.
But you know what? We're going to shift gears next, Mark Grody. We're going to go to Bears. And Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
Fishbane.
Very interesting survey in theathletic.com this week regarding the Bears and this season. We talked about it some yesterday. We will talk to the writer himself next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bears.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I've always been somebody, like we talk here in golf about being competitive. You're somebody that embraces challenges, and I think we've put together, Ryan Pace has done such an amazing job of building the last 3 years this roster that we have. We have a lot of depth, and so now to be able to have the time to put it together, we feel like we're going to have a great opportunity offensively to do what we need to do, and the time is now. We know that, and we're looking forward to it, so that's why. You can't live in the past, and that's not what we're going to do. I refuse to allow that to happen, and this is a new season, and so we got a fresh start, so let's see what we can do with it.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was the voice of Matt Nagy on the Under Center podcast earlier this month. Mark Grody in for Mully today. And it's time now to go out to the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com. Four unique grilling recipes and more. And that's where we find Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. Very well done story executed this week by you and The Athletic, the Bears fan survey, over 2,000 respondents. I know you spent some time talking about this. It took probably a lot of time to condense and put together and to put into context. I guess overall, how would you describe what stood out to you the most?
Well, I think, David, you see the confidence everybody has in Justin Fields, and you kind of see that through some of the responses when you talk about what people expect from Andy Dalton, when they expect Fields to come in. You also saw it a little bit in, kind of what I called the report cards for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I mean, look, they both got C's, and so it's not like people were excited about them. But I think if you had asked people to give a letter grade to those two on maybe January 10th, or even the day before the draft, I think it would have been a little different. So it's interesting how much, Justin Fields, kind of buoys everything. Everything kind of rises with him in terms of the way people feel about this team, because they just see this in the near future enough that they can kind of maybe look past some of the other things. Because, in the end, my last question is, how many wins do you think this team's going to get? And as much as everyone's complained about lots of things that's happened this offseason, most people expected this team to win 9 games and be over 500. That was a 40% of the vote picked that, which is a plurality. So I think you just see the way that Fields is kind of impacting people's kind of beliefs and feelings and confidence about this team.
Yeah, well, I guess, they've been 8-8 for 2 years in a row, so you can set the over-under at 8, so it's not implausible that the Bears could win 9 games this year. But I got to tell you, man, one thing that I found interesting and maybe not as important but fascinating is the love for Marquise Goodwin and him being the guy. The question that you had posed is who will be the third leading receiver, wide receiver on this team behind Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. You can't use those two guys. Everybody said Marquise Goodwin. Why do you think that is, Fishbane?
Well, Mark, I think people were reading tweets from OTAs and minicamp, right?
Is it my fault?
It probably is.
Yeah. He's fast.
You know, that's the funny thing about the practices in shorts, right? We noticed the guys with speed.
Yes.
And it's not to say that Goodwin did not, you know, play well and kind of open some eyes out there. But I think this also almost says more about the other guys, right? It says more about the lack of confidence, whether it's in Anthony Miller, period, or if he'll even still be on the roster come week one. And when I looked at that poll, and I think I wrote this, I said, well, shoot, if you're a Bears fan, you better hope that Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, and Cole Kmet are doing what you expect them to do from a receiving standpoint, because I don't think you can enter this season getting really excited about Marquise Goodwin being, I don't know, maybe an 800-yard guy just looking at his history. I mean, look, you know, it could be a great story. You talk about everything that's gone on in his life. Colleen Kane did a wonderful job chronicling that for the Tribune, and you look at what his career has been and the speed that he brings and all those things. I mean, it would be great to see the impact that he could have on the offense. But, yeah, I do think that the Bears can't necessarily go into, and I don't think they necessarily are going in next week, relying on him being that guy as a number three receiver for them.
Talking with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, who had a really comprehensive fan survey and a good story surrounding that this week. Check it out on theathletic.com. So, Kevin, as you prepare for next week, Tuesday, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy in person again before the start of training camp, forget the fan questions for a second. What's the most pressing question do you think you'll go to Hallis Hall wanting to get answered on Tuesday?
Yeah, David, I want to know the plan for Justin Fields. You know, what, you know, and, you know, for Ryan Pace, maybe, well, how is it going to be different than what their plan was 4 years ago for Mitch Trubisky? And it's going to be hard not to compare the two. Like, they're similar in just it's a top draft pick, you know, with this veteran placeholder. But obviously, Mr. Trubisky and Justin Fields are coming into this with very, it's very different expectations, even though Trubisky was the number two pick and Fields was 11. But I'd be curious what the plan is. What's Matt Nagy? You know, this is all, everything's about, you know, the plan, right, in terms of how they're developing Fields. So what does that look like in a training camp setting? You know, are we going to periodically see Justin Fields ever take reps against, first team defense just to see what he does? You know, what is their plan for his reps? How are they going to balance it out? And they have to figure out this way to do it without taking anything away from Andy Dalton, without, you know, preventing Andy Dalton from learning what he needs to do with this offense and playing against this first team defense. So you guys know it's all going to be, everything's going to be focused on Fields. And the Bears are going to have to figure out a way to, you know, recognize that and recognize what they have, but also know that, like, hey, this is Andy Dalton's team right now, and he's the one that they need to come out there and look like a quarterback that can lead this team to playoff contention come the winter.
Kevin, I've gotten the side eye a couple times from our friend David Haw here when I say that I think it's possible that the Bears' offensive line could be a position of strength this year. And a lot of it hinges, for me, on Tevin Jenkins being good as the left tackle. I say that because the interior, it seems like, is really solid. Do you think that the Bears' offensive line could be a position of strength this year?
I'm trying to think if I'd give you the side eye, Mark.
Yeah, I feel like you have in the past, but I don't know.
Well, you say
Kevin, the dismissive scoff also works.
That's it, yeah. That usually comes from Dustin, though, the dismissive scoff. Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say, Mark. I think you are spot on about the interior. I think I think if you said the interior of the offensive line could be one of the strengths for this team, I would not give you a side. Because I think James Daniels is somebody I'm very interested to see when the pads come on, what he looks like. You know, it seems like he was starting to really come into his own last year before the injury. And they seem pleased with what he's done since then to get himself ready for this year. We kind of know what you're getting in Cody Whitehair. And then Sam Mustipher was a revelation last year with what he does. And now he has a full offseason knowing he's the starting center. How does that look? So I think you can feel good about those three. you know, Jermaine Ifedi, he helped solidify that line with the right tackle sign. I'm not, that doesn't mean I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler over there.
Like,
and I just don't know what to expect from Tevin Jenkins as a left tackle. I loved the pick when it happened. And, you know, I think all of us did a lot of research about him because we thought he would be the pick at 20 before the draft. I don't necessarily know if the Bears are going to walk in there next week and say, hey, you're our starting left tackle. And maybe nor do I think they should. I think they got to make this guy, you know, work for it a little bit and be open-minded because this is somewhat of a new-ish position for him, but he is the future there. So I'm not ready to anoint the whole line because of my question marks at both tackles, but I do think that the interior is something they can build on.
Okay, I'm clicking the solid button on the athletic rankings for your response right there. It went from meh to solid, and maybe it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty nicely played there, Kevin, right down the middle, very diplomatic. You didn't really alienate Grody, but you didn't really placate him either. Somewhere in the middle. On defense, let's talk about that. There will be a lot of conversation going into training camp about Eddie Goldman's return. There'll be a lot of speculation about Roquan Smith's next contract in light of what's going on around the league with the contracts being signed this week by other inside linebackers. I still think the Bears' biggest issue, which will determine their defensive success or failure this year, they lost two cornerbacks. Not just Kyle Fuller. Buster Skrine is a 12th starter, is a guy. They never really replaced either guy. How much confidence do you have, Kevin, in their secondary? And are they done adding? There's always could be a late addition to the mix. What do you think?
Yeah, Dave, I mean, cornerback to me is number one concern heading in. The drop-off from Kyle Fuller to whoever starts in that place is the biggest drop-off on this roster. It's one of the bigger drop-offs we've probably seen since they rebuilt the team a few years ago. So, you know, like, look, I understand that people were impressed with what Kendall Vildor did in minicamp and OTAs. It's not to say that he could one day be a really quality starter for this team, but we don't know. I mean, to say he's going to, you know, help, you know, the way he's going to replace Kyle Fuller. I mean, you're talking about a multiple Pro Bowl guy who you could just count on week after week after week. So that is the question mark position. You mentioned the slot corner. Like, yeah, Duke Shelley showed some flashes. They like Thomas Graham Jr., but we're talking about 2 sixth-round picks in those two guys. And I thought Buster Skrine, you know, certainly his first year here, played a lot better than I think fans wanted to give him credit for. You know, he was just kind of reliable. Of course, he lost a couple big one-on-one battles to Davante Adams, but who hasn't in their career? So I do think that's an interesting spot. And if you go through the veterans who still don't have teams, you will see a lot of corners. You will see a lot of guys who kind of have a resume that looks like Buster Skrine when they sign Buster Skrine, or looks like Desmond Trufant, you know, when they brought him in. So I could certainly see, if they don't love what they're getting from the guys that they brought in, that being the position mid, late August, that they kick the tires on one of these veterans, because that is going to be an interesting position. The one other thing I'll say, David, is you got to imagine that there is some, you know, and you guys both know this from covering this team and covering the NFL. These coaches and personnel guys, the way their egos are set up, they can always believe it. They will find a way. Which is fine. It's fine to have that attitude. And it's kind of our job to, you know, maybe be a little bit skeptical. I imagine there's some belief that this pass rush is going to be better, significantly better than it was last year, whether it's because they just think that Khalil Mack is going to be fully healthy and he's going to be better, or Robert Quinn, or what they're going to get from Travis Gipson, or the interior, whatever it is, or the scheme from Sean Desai. Whatever it is, I got to imagine that there's some thought process there that we know cornerback is going to take a step back, and we know quarterbacks are going to throw at whoever's opposite Jalen Johnson. Heck, they're going to throw at Jalen Johnson. He's a second-year guy. You know, this is somebody that was injured at the end of last year and still gave up a couple big plays here and there. I think that they're probably all hoping that this pass rush is much better to help out those corners.
Good stuff, Kevin. No side eye for me.
That's good. That's good news for me. Then.
That is.
And I just clicked awesome.
Awesome.
You got the green smiley face.
Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, man.
So, Mark Grody, yesterday the NFL issued a memo to teams about the policy regarding vaccinations. And that's definitely worth exploring because it will have an effect on team chemistry, on peer pressure, and possibly, quite possibly, on the playoff picture. because when you're talking about forfeits, you can't ignore that possibility. We will talk about that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully. That was the voice of Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys' fine running back, talking very openly and honestly about the NFL's memo sent to teams yesterday and the uncomfortable spot it puts players in who aren't vaccinated and who may be considering how much they believe in their right to exercise that freedom, not to get vaccinated, even though it frankly doesn't make sense to me because I think I trust the science, I trust the medical information, and I trust the people who have, the millions of people who have gotten the vaccination and you know, done the right thing in my view. But there are players who don't agree for various reasons. And all of that is being put to a test now, Mark Grody, because yesterday the NFL issued a memo that described ramifications for teams that had COVID outbreaks during the upcoming season. And they will face, they're not going to reschedule games. They're not going to do anything outside of the 18-game framework, which is the 18-week season, 17 games in 18 weeks. And if you can't reschedule, you could forfeit that game. Not only forfeit that game, both teams' rosters, the players for both teams, would lose game checks. Mm-hmm. Now, even if you're not motivated by the reality that you could have a loss that could cost you a division title or a playoff berth, most players will be motivated by the fact that they could lose a game check through no fault of their own. You could make a decision that affects me and take money out of my pocket. Now, regardless of how you feel about the vaccination and the science and all of these things, then it goes from being sort of an ethical conversation or a health conversation, a science conversation, to a financial equation.
Ooh.
Nobody wants to lose their money in the NFL,
that's
right?
That's where it gets real.
So peer pressure, team chemistry, how far can a team go to compel a player to get vaccinated so they can avoid these kind of dilemmas?
It gets real when we're talking about game checks. You're absolutely right. I mean, and the example can be players that hold out and are willing to allow a game check or two or a payday to be taken away because they're holding out. But they, even the big money men, they don't allow that to go too long. Like, I mean, we're all going to be standing by with Aaron Rodgers, and if he reports to camp or if he holds out for a while, and he'll be losing money because of that if he does. And players, there is a limit to how much money they will allow themselves to lose in that regard. I don't think the peer pressure will be as real as a lot of people think. I think that the anger will be directed towards the National Football League and Roger Goodell and those who have put in these rules, because that's where the anger usually goes. And I think that the Ezekiel Elliott quote that we heard coming in here, where he's talking about having not had vaccinations growing up and everybody could do what they want to do with their body, I do think that that will be the majority opinion from the players. I disagree with it, and I will say simply this, because I know we don't get into a discussion about whether you should get the vaccine or not. The numbers are where they are because people have gotten the vaccine. The COVID numbers are down.
The revenue streams to the NFL are wide open again because people have gotten vaccinated, yeah, to the point where they're allowing people back into the stadiums.
You and I are in a studio together and maskless because people have gotten the vaccines. You're walking around the city of Chicago and you're able to, the Deer District was possible because people have gotten the vaccine. So the vaccine works. I don't know what some of the individual reasons are for players not wanting to get it and being educated and what the reasons are for it, but there is something to, you don't have to put something into your body that you don't want to put into
your body. They
were
shared on social media in dribs and drabs yesterday. Guys like DeAndre Hopkins tweeted out, now he since deleted a tweet, "Never thought I would say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." That's DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Another tweet referred to somebody's brother in the military, or sister's wife's brother, I'm sorry, in the military. I think that might have been somebody else tweeted out. So there are various reasons why, Mark, that people make that choice. But what the NFL is doing, and we have yet to hear from the Players Association, but they are in essence requiring vaccinations without making it a written mandate. Mm-hmm. They are essentially backing these players into a corner where they're going to have to decide, do I make a decision that is borderline selfish, that could be perceived as being very selfish, and rather than putting the team first and others first. And I think that that, in essence, is part of how you approach, you know, to some degree, your decision to get vaccinated and your role in this pandemic. Are you being thinking only for yourself, or are you doing something and having the social responsibility and doing what's right for everyone else?
Yeah, and I think that the word that I would use to describe what this will build is just more resentment, whether it's from peer players, more resentment from player to player, resentment more, and the biggest thing, again, more resentment from the players towards management, towards the NFL, towards the Shield, and as if there's not already enough of that because of how brutal the game is, the way contracts work in the NFL, there is a lot of resentment that exists, and I think that it's only going to build more. Even though if you are a fan of the National Football League and a fan of your individual teams, I think that you like this. I might be wrong, but I think that most fans...
Well, you know why you like this? Because it brings you back to normalcy and avoids the situations where you're going to either A, face cancellations or forfeitures, or B, have situations where you have what we saw last year with teams playing with skeletal crews and people being forced into situations like, I'm thinking of the Broncos being forced to use a quarterback, yes, who had never played the position. That was a farce of a game. That was an irregular result because it was, you know, the definition of a game with an asterisk because of the situation that was created by the pandemic.
I think the one of the good things, though, too, is that there are guys that are kind of, you know, hemming and hawing, they're kind of undecided on whether or not to get the vaccine. These mandates from the NFL will probably push them towards the yes button. Yes, I'm going to get the vaccine. If you are a guy that is teetering out and you just need a little bit more of a push or some motivation to get it done, I think there will be some guys that would not have gotten the vaccine that now will because of the mandates that have been put in.
I agree with that because of you don't want to call it necessarily peer pressure, but there's an inherent underlying pressure to do this, to comply.
Especially if you're a younger player, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be the young guy.
You don't
want to
be plus your spot on the roster could be compromised.
Oh, absolutely.
If you think that teams won't consider your vaccination status when they're evaluating whether or not to keep you, you are very naive.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten paid yet,
you are,
man,
very naive.
Yeah, if you haven't
because
been around for
if,
5 years.
If you're not an established player,
yep,
you have this decision has been made for you, essentially. And as Andrew Brandt put it, a smart guy on Twitter, the NFL, they're not mandating vaccinations, but they are making it very difficult on the unvaccinated. And that is the distinction that is very, very important to make here, because they're not saying you have to do this, but they're saying if you don't, boy, you could make it, life could be very, very uncomfortable for you.
Oh, yeah, and I think we talked it through pretty well, if I might say so myself and yourself, that I think, like, we could probably narrow it down to players that have not gotten to their second contract or to their free agent year.
Mm.
If I was them, and this is the NFL, and we know how long it doesn't last and how unfair it can be when you get cut, yeah, man, like these players do what they got to do to get paid. And I would, too. I would do the same thing. I would work my ass off for those first 4 years and somebody give me the money because of how brutal the sport is and how brutal some of the rules are in terms of getting cut and waived.
Yeah, so that is going on in the NFL this weekend. It is something to keep an eye on as we get closer to the beginning of training camp, which is, yes, next week, Bears.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Can't wait.
Bears.
Yep.
Bears.
But until that time, this weekend, there is a World Series preview up in Milwaukee. The Cubs are back home against the Diamondbacks. Let's switch gears and go back to baseball. I want to hear from people who are going up to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I want to hear from Cubs fans. Who are you rooting for this weekend? Does it matter? Could you be rooting for the White Sox? Go Sox. Or do you think that the Brewers are, you know, does it even matter how far ahead the Brewers are of the Cubs because the season is all but over? Anyway, 312-644-6767. Let us know. Mark Grody in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.